Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben.
Presented by Brakes Plus.
How?
How?
How am I?
Your reverential praise for Teddy Bridgewater. Exactly how I got in trouble by you badgering me into the Trevor
Siemian.
Got to pay him now.
Proclamation.
Give him a 10-year contract for $55 million. Get him now while he's cheap.
You said it. I didn't bully you into anything.
You bullied me right into that.
Bullied me right in.
And it was a very reasonable time. Best QB since Bates, the only guy that's got a winning record.
I will not argue with that. He has been that boy.
Pro Bowl alternate.
Wow. That says something.
Wow.
I love Trevor Siemian, but when.
Getting cleats on the grass.
When you can say, and I have no argument and nobody has any argument that they can put forth, that Trevor Siemian has been the best quarterback here since Peyton Manning. Wow. Not Paxton Lynch?
No, Paxton Lynch?
No.
No?
No.
What about Paxton?
I'll tell you a guy who doesn't retain water. Paxton. Tears are dripping it out. This guy just cried for a while.
That's what you gotta do. I bet you if you just had a good crying jag like Paxton did on the sidelines, I think you'd instantly get down to like 247.6.
Yeah. It's a good 5 pounds of tears.
Just tears. Get rid of all that water you retain. Just have a good cry.
Maybe if I, step on your foot on my way out and slightly roll my ankle, I can cry all the way to my house in Lone Tree. How many tears do you think I can drop between here and Lone Tree?
Right?
Yeah. You're right.
I've
47. I'm on my way.
But You do talk up Teddy Bridgewater in a way in which, okay, I'm trying to buy in, but you're like, oh yeah, look at him. I mean, he's so calm in the pocket. Front side, back side, terrific pocket awareness. Knows where to go with the football. Okay.
Sure.
I'm going to buy into your assessment of Teddy Bridgewater. I'm expecting this guy to just be, I'm not expecting huge plays down the field. That's fine. I'm okay with that. But I am expecting this guy to be nails in terms of the ball comes out quickly. He doesn't take sacks. He steps up, manipulates the pocket. He is deadly accurate. Much more accurate than he was on his first two possessions of the other night.
So you've taken this and you have changed the narrative. This is what drives me crazy.
How have I changed the narrative?
Because the narrative is not all of a sudden Teddy Bridgewater becomes Tom Brady. Like you're sitting here going, all of a sudden Teddy Bridgewater is going to be, one of the elite quarterbacks. He'll never be an elite quarterback. He's going to be an efficient quarterback. He's going to be a quarterback that is not going to make a lot of mental mistakes. Physically, he still doesn't have the physical tool set that a Drew Lock or like 90% of the other quarterbacks have.
Right.
So he's never going to be that from a talent standpoint. He's limited. So he'll never be in the upper echelon of quarterbacks when it comes to the complete and total package. What I'm telling you is he's a better decision than Drew Lock right now because Drew Lock still has, a long way to grow, even though he grew quite a bit. And I'm proud of the growth that we saw from him. He still lacks in pocket presence, pocket awareness, understanding from one side to the other, how quickly he gets the ball out. All those things are lacking compared to Bridgewater. But Bridgewater is never all of a sudden going to be Matt Ryan, or he's not all of a sudden going to be, Matthew Stafford.
Okay,
he's not all of a sudden going to be that guy.
But understand what you're trying to advance here is that you think he could be a very competent quarterback in this league, minus the big arm talent, minus the, big athleticism, making plays all over the field with his legs. So if this guy's going to be even a competent quarterback, then he's going to have to be way above average when it comes to how he just operates in the pocket.
He is going to have to be.
And how he gets rid of the football, accuracy, all that stuff.
He's going to have to be incredibly consistent. And now, let me also throw one more caveat in there, right? Because I think he will be consistent. And then the other caveat is your offensive coordinator has to call a game that accentuates those strengths and eliminates some of the weaknesses. And for me, now your coordinator has to be unselfish, has to understand what you are, has to understand what your identity is, and has to create that identity that best complements that quarterback.
So you can't have Teddy Bridgewater throwing the ball 39, 40, 42 times like Pat Shurmur had Drew Locke throwing it.
Right, because you're going to lose.
So what you're saying is Pat Shurmur can't screw Teddy Bridgewater like he screwed.
Or you're actually trying to throw incompletions.
He has got to be much better than he's been in the past.
Okay.
He's got to be better than he was last year. And I understand he got hired here to what? Theoretically, what we were told is, I want an offense that pushes the ball down the field. Of course, the year before, he wanted the offense that the San Francisco 49ers run because he has a tough time defending it.
You're talking about Vic.
Yes.
Yeah.
But now it's, you know, all of a sudden it changed to, I want an offense that pushes it down the field. What we've come back full circle to is, hey, I want more traditional West Coast, run the ball, understand what we are, set up the play action, set up the run action stuff, and make sure that at the end of the day, we don't turn the ball over and we allow our defense to win. And frankly, Teddy can operate. He can operate in that realm. And he can be efficient in that realm.
Right.
Now, if you're asking him, hey, Teddy, carry this team on its
back
and go out there and throw it 40 times a game, then you know, you're gonna be a 5-6-7 win team.
Yeah. But if your perfect blueprint then is, hey, we run, I don't know, 65 plays. And so in your perfect world, it's what? 35 runs, 30 passes, 37 runs, 27 passes, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just high percentage throws, play to his strengths. He'll get rid of the ball. He'll go to the right guy. Mm-hmm. It'll be accurate. Let your playmakers go make plays. In the meantime, you're running the football and you're playing defense. That's how you win.
So honestly,
you know, it's funny. Honestly, it shouldn't be that hard.
No.
Right? It really shouldn't. That kind of formula shouldn't be that hard.
You want to know what really interesting.
Why is it? Why is it so hard to find?
I know. Do this. As we're just having this conversation.
Role play.
Yeah. No, I want you to look something up for me with your chubby fingers.
Okay.
Pull your feet down off the counter. Get your chubby.
Okay, Mom.
Get your chubby fingers.
All right, they're ready to go.
Okay. Here's what I want you to find. Give me the teams that average the most attempts rushing per game.
Most rushing attempts last year?
Last year. Most rushing attempts per game.
I can do that.
Okay. You find out that. So I will tell you one of the things I look at is not necessarily always yards per carry, but attempts per game, rushing attempts per game. Because one, it shows you who has ball control, who runs the ball when they have to run the ball, who's usually pretty good in the red zone, Mike. And normally, out of the top 10 teams that have attempts per game, lead in attempts per game, there's always going to be an outlier or two. But usually, there's probably 7 playoff teams.
All right, here you go.
Okay.
Number one,
mm-hmm.
most rushing attempts in the NFL last year.
Baltimore.
Baltimore with 555.
Yeah. Playoff team, right?
Yep. Care to wager who was second?
San Francisco is always going to be up there because they believe in that, but they
not really.
Okay, because they, all right.
Tennessee was number two.
Playoff
team.
Yep.
New England was three.
New England.
Non-playoff team.
Non-playoff.
Let's see. Saints.
Saints, playoff team.
Let's see. Who else? Real quick. Arizona.
Non-playoff team.
Cleveland.
Playoff team.
And Rams.
Rams, playoff team.
And Vikings.
Eight Vikings, non-playoff team.
So. So. And the Raiders are up there as well.
Okay, but here's my point is this.
And Chargers.
Okay. Put it in the top seven. You have one, two, three, four, five of the top seven teams when it came to running the football. When it came to running the football, five of the top seven teams went to the playoffs. The other two teams had quarterbacks they were relying on to run the ball. Arizona and New England.
We got some breaking news.
Ooh.
Breaking news. This is according to Tom Pelissero.
Tommy P.
The Patriots have released Cam Newton.
Whoa!
Squishy Mac! Squishy Mac! Is going to be your Patriots starter.
Yeah, I like football season, all the things that go with it.
Wow, that's a bit of a stunner.
Wow.
Because, I mean, throughout the entire process, Bill Belichick has been adamant that Cam Newton was his guy to start.
Man. Well, I'll tell you what, don't get yourself Wally pipped. Cam Newton? Well, I mean, availability and responsibility. Two things. I mean, I always say, you know, that there's an old saying, availability is the best ability. I say responsibility is the best ability. Cam Newton chose his choice. You're allowed to make the choice not to get vaccinated. He got in the protocol. He had to miss 5 days. During those 5 days, there was a scrimmage against the Giants where Squishy Mac played his butt off and ended up tilting that battle. And they're looking at him going, dude, in these joint practices, which we identified as far more important than the preseason games, Squishy Mac's my guy. Maybe we don't even call him Squishy Mac anymore.
Oh, if he's starting right away.
No.
Can't call him Squishy.
No.
Nah, he's going to be Squishy Mac. Till he establishes himself as the real deal. But that's a big development.
Huge development.
I thought, my thought was you would see him, but I figured they would go with Newton early on, at least through the Brady game.
Right.
Which is the fourth game of the season for them. My thought would be is that, look, you don't want to put arguably the biggest game in regular season game in Patriots history, the return of Tom Brady,
right,
and then take Brady's heir apparent, the guy that you drafted because he looks and plays and carries himself like a young Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And have him have that responsibility to go up against him in game four. I thought they'd get through game four and then all bets were off. You know, then at some point you might see Squishy Mac.
Well, you know how New England is. I mean, the way they have, one, when you watched Mac Jones throw the ball in preseason, you watched him talk about getting the ball out of your hand, going from one side of the route combination to the other, understanding where he wants to go. And then you look at the way they're built. Think about the way New England has been built, very much like what's going on here in Denver. Defensively, you look at their front seven is loaded. So they're going to defend the run. They're going to, you know, put pressure on you, and then they run the ball. They run the ball incredibly well. And so they're saying, hey man, we're going to rely on this and this formula, and this Mac Jones has played exceptionally well so far. And inconsistency has been, you know, you look at Cam Newton since about 6-7 weeks into the 2018 season where he was really good in his first year, I think with North Turner, really good. And then he gets injured. He hurts his shoulder. He plays through week 11. He's awful. And it's just been downhill ever since. So, I think his career as a starting quarterback is done.
Yes.
As a legitimate starter is done.
Yes. Yes.
And I don't know, like, does he
want to slide into that middle-ish of June mentor, veteran backup guy. He did get high. He got very good reviews. Belichick loved him.
Sure.
And he got very high, good reviews for how he was as a teammate. So if you're looking, if he's willing to accept that role, which I think he is,
yeah.
I never thought that Joe Flacco would be somebody that would embrace that kind of role. And he seems like he's just fine with doing that.
Yeah, I think these guys ultimately
have their football mortality is presented to them. Mm-hmm. They have to come face to face with it. And I think they realize, you know what? This is worth sticking around for.
Well, you think about Cam Newton and think about what he was and what he's ended up being here at the end or closer to the end than the beginning. And just the toll playing that style of quarterback takes on you. That's why, you know, the pocket presence quarterback is not going out of style anytime soon. It's why Mac Jones wins this competition. We can still run the ball. We can do all those things. But he gives us the best chance to win games from the pocket.
Well,
and that's where you're protected.
Well, wait a minute. What about the idea that he only can excel if he excels? He can only excel in New England.
Who?
Mac Jones. That's the only place he can excel, that if you asked him to play quarterback anywhere else, he wouldn't be the same guy. Because what New England wants of their quarterbacks is so different than anywhere else.
I don't think it is different than anywhere else.
I don't think so either. I think that's a bunch of hooey, but.
Right.
I mean, coaches get hired all the time. Cue the systems, by the way. Coaches get hired all the time because of what they bring offensively, right?
We're going to have systems.
The Kyle Shanahan system, the Sean McVay system.
Right.
And why do coaches get hired? Because they can tout a system that is successful. So New England's got a system. So are you telling me that their system is impossible to copy? Come on.
No, I mean.
We're going to have systems.
They have their run game. They have a variety of things they do. New England has a lot of volume in their run game. They would rather be a little bit more gap, accentuate gap type of runs as opposed to zone type of runs. So that's always kind of been their thing. But, you know, when you're talking about passing concepts and everybody runs the same stuff. It's just a matter of what you kind of major in, what you want to run. New England is big in believing in the motions and all those things to distinguish between zone and man coverages. And so, you know, and here's a kid that you just watch him play, Mike. The authority which he throws, the authority with which he makes decisions. That's what jumps off the screen. Like he does not, there is no hesitation. There is no, I wonder. There is no, I'm not sure. There is just see it and rip it.
Okay. Let's look at this a different way now. Cause for weeks, it has been, did George Payton make a mistake in passing on Justin Fields?
Right.
Well, Bill Belichick, no less an authority than Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
Has decided that the guy that he drafted is ready to start right away for a team that went out and spent, what, $263 million guaranteed in free agency? Most of the NFL in free agency?
Right.
Clearly they are in win-now mode,
mm-hmm.
And Bill Belichick has decided this is the guy that's right for my team right now.
Absolutely.
Did George Payton make a mistake on passing on Mac Jones? Let's put Justin Fields aside for a second. Did he make a mistake passing on Mac Jones?
Great question, Mike. I really enjoyed
it. Yeah. It is a great question. Only time will tell. You know, the issue is that you're looking at Mac Jones getting this start. And if you look at what Pat Surtain has done, he's been incredible. It's been great. But you're just not going to, you know, the impact of the quarterback, obviously, who touches the ball on every single play, like they have more opportunity to impact the game. And so you'll see that. It's a great question. We're going to get the answer on that. But I think the other thing for George Payton, Mike, is when you took over, what's your long-term plan? What's your long-term belief in Vic Fangio? What's your long-term plan as a franchise? When will the franchise be sold? Who is the owner that you're going to work with next? There are a lot of other factors that went into that decision on who to draft, right?
You mean you don't draft a quarterback because you don't know who your owner is going to be?
You don't, because you don't want to, you don't want a coach that wants something, that you sign a coach if you end up letting go of Vic Fangio that didn't like that guy or wants to do something different. I don't know all the different factors that go into it. But obviously in your preparation as a scout, in your study as a scout, you thought the limitations of Mac Jones and you thought the limitations of Justin Fields, were such that you didn't want to take those guys. You decided not to take those guys. And it, you know, one of the things I think that's a hard evaluation for a lot of NFL front offices is when you play at Ohio State or you play at Alabama and you're playing an 11 game out of 12 games or 10 games out of 11 games, a schedule where from a talent standpoint, it's not even close to matching up. It's sad when you say that about Ohio State. When you line up against Michigan, it's not even close anymore. And so I think it's hard to evaluate those guys when everybody that's on your roster is better than the guys you're playing.
One last thought on Cam Newton. Is Cam Newton so done, in your opinion, that without even thinking, you'd take Teddy Bridgewater over Cam Newton? Or is there some hesitation there? Cam Newton's available. Yeah. Just got released.
I'd not go in that direction. Now, I have never been a Cam Newton fan. Even when he was winning MVPs, I thought there were a lot of things he didn't do well. I always thought he was deficient in decision making. I thought it was deficient in the intermediate to short ball. I just thought that he was such a physically gifted specimen that the deficiencies, he overcame the deficiencies with athleticism. I don't think that's a long-term solution to playing quarterback in this league. And I always say this, when your default mechanism at that position is let me just go make a play with my body, when that's taken away from you, you know, when your body can no longer do that, it's hard if your whole life you've had that default mechanism to all of a sudden switch to being, hey, I'm a pocket guy.
I think of your 70-30 rule when you talk about quarterbacks. Just 70% of the time, you're just in the pocket, coolly, assassin-like, just running the offense. And you think about the premium that's placed on high pass completions, right? Mm. I mean, you've got to be over 65%. That's the new baseline, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cam Newton in his entire career has gone over 60% twice. 2018, he was at 68%, had a really good year with the Panthers.
Well, he was really good for about 9 games, Mike. Okay. And then he was really bad for a while, but he was really injured. So, yeah.
Then last year, he was at 66%, but 8 touchdowns, 10 picks.
Yeah.
I mean, Cam Newton, terrific career, MVP, can never have that taken away from him, but he just never mastered the art of passing the football.
Right.
Simply put, you know, he was a great player with his legs, but he never mastered the art of passing the football. And that ultimately with some injuries has proven to be his downfall.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's come down to. That's what it's come down to. And I will say this, and I just saw this on the text line. It says, I hate the Patriots, but they continue to show blank and make hard decisions, something Denver hasn't done. And I like that thought process from the texter.
I'll just say this. You talk about this all the time. What's your identity? Mm-hmm. Find your identity. Forge an identity. They got an identity. They know what works for them. They've got a two-decade-long identity that they can look at players and say, hey, he reminds me of this guy. You know, we draft a linebacker, he reminds me of Teddy Bruschi or Dante Hightower. We draft a cornerback, he reminds me of, you know, Ty Law or somebody. You know what I mean? When you're able to forge an identity, you get to a point where you're like, you know, this Mac Jones reminds me a lot of Tom Brady, characteristically speaking. Not that he's going to have Tom Brady's career, but he fits an identity that we have. The Broncos have been searching and floundering, swapping out identities every other year.
Right.
So I think that's what it speaks to.
I agree. They know exactly what they want to do, and they're great at it. They're great, and they do make tough decisions on players. They do get rid of guys like Chandler Jones, even when he's got 12 and a half sacks. They make their decisions, and they live with them.
By the way, tough day for my pal Magoo for D-Mac.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, first of all, he still says he would have taken Cam Newton over Von Miller.
Mm-hmm.
He was pushing for Cam Newton this offseason.
Yeah.
He applauded the Patriots when they brought back Cam Newton. I have no doubt that he's already banging the drum for them to bring in Cam Newton.
Oh, you know that. You know it.
I mean, at some point, just take the L. Just take the L. Okay. John Clayton will get his thoughts on Cam Newton being released by the Patriots. What's next for him? And does he endorse the Teddy Bridgewater move? John Clayton joins us next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Our senior Broncos writer at DenverFan.com, John Clayton, joins us courtesy of Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. And John, good morning. Jump right into it. Your reaction to the Patriots releasing Cam Newton?
It's surprising because I thought they'd keep him on the roster, but I'm not surprised because, I mean, a couple things. Certainly, I mean, you go back, I mean, there's no question that Mac Jones outperformed him this preseason. I mean, I think that's you can see he did a better job, more efficient. But I think the big thing is you also look at the COVID-19. I mean, here's last year, you know, Cam had COVID-19. It negatively affected him for about a month after he had it. He admitted that. And so now he doesn't get vaccinated. And so he gets another COVID-19 as far as a contact. You know, misses some time, and it's like, okay, that negatively affects him. And then it's like, okay, so where's his responsibility as far as being able to, you know, handle all this stuff? And then he doesn't play as well. He can't get the ball downfield. He's beat up. But it's a big move because I thought most people thought that Cam was going to win the starting job and then maybe lose it sometime during the season. Now he's out of the Patriots and not there now.
Johnny, what do you think his future is in this league?
Backup. I mean, I think what it comes down to is that, you know, his starting days are probably over. I mean, because you look at how he performed last year, 6.4 yards an attempt. I mean, less than 3,000 yards passing. He's all beat up. I mean, you know, the fact that he was a great quarterback for a long period of time. He was more physical than most quarterbacks in the league because he wanted to not only take on a linebacker at 250 pounds, but beat up the linebacker. That caught up to him. It cost him the ability to throw downfield. So I think at this stage, if he's going to get a job, it's going to be as a backup.
Your thoughts now that it's official that Teddy Bridgewater is going to be the Broncos starting quarterback. Did the right guy win the job?
Probably, because I think what you can look at and the way that Vic Fangio has handled the preseason is that, you know, he wants to win in September. And, of course, you look in September, they take on three teams that aren't good. You know, New York Giants being the best of the three. They're 9-39. You know, it's like these. Here's Fangio's 0-7 in September in his 2 years in Denver. Now he has a chance to go 3-0 and get off to a good start. I think, you know, he wanted the quarterback who wasn't going to screw it up, who was going to come in, not make mistakes, and do the best he can. So it's like, is Bridgewater the most talented quarterback on the roster? No, Drew Lock is. Is Bridgewater going to be potentially the most effective at the beginning of the season? I think he is.
Yeah, I think where do you see the Broncos in the landscape of the just the AFC West? Mm-hmm. We all think that the Kansas City Chiefs are, you know, head and shoulders above everybody else. But where do you kind of place the Broncos when it comes to them, the Chargers, and the Raiders?
Well, I think right now, because I did this thing for the Washington Post last week, I think probably second or third place, because you look at the Broncos on defense, they're great. You look at them as a receiving core, they're great. You're looking at the running back group, they're great. And so it's like, you know, they could maybe beat out the Chargers for the number two spot. But I think right now the AFC West, excluding the Raiders, have three playoff teams. And if that's going to be the case, I can see that, you know, you can see either the Chargers, the Broncos, and both making it as wild card teams.
John Gruden, head coach of the Raiders. We said it's either going to be an incredible, like we were talking, it's going to be an incredible success or an incredible failure. Where are you with John Gruden, the 10-year contract he signed to be the head coach of the Raiders, and what do you think his future is in Vegas?
Well, I mean, it's a failure because he hasn't made the playoffs. And it's a failure because it seems like he comes into the office at 4 o'clock each morning and has a different agenda. There's no long-term plan. Any plan right now is a plan that's there for one day and one day only. And so is it going to change? He's got a 10-year guaranteed contract of $10 million a year. So he's not going to get fired. But right now, I don't look at him as a playoff team. I look at him as a team that still has a shaky defense, that doesn't make good decisions as far as their personnel. Not good. And so how that's going to change, I don't know. But you know, you look at him and you don't put him in a picture with the Raiders, you know, with right now the Chargers. You don't put him in with the Broncos, and you don't put him in with the Chiefs. You put him in his fourth place.
Yeah. All right, Johnny, man, we appreciate you, buddy. Have a great, great rest of your day.
Okay, thanks.
There he goes, John Clayton.
And now, I'm done with my segment.
I think he, some of the Chinese food went down the wrong tube there.
Right?
Right? I hate it when that happens.
Yeah.
You ever take a vitamin and it doesn't go down all the way?
Oh,
and then,
yes.
And it's just kind of stuck there, and then you, like, burp and some, like vitamin dust gets into the air.
And vitamin dust tastes awful.
Oh, it's not. Vitamin dust is not good.
It tastes not good.
No.
Yeah.
No. No. That happened to me last week. I tried to take one, like, dry.
Oh, yeah.
And it got caught.
Mm-hmm.
And for a moment there, life flashed before my eyes.
Are there actually two tubes? You know, you always say it goes down the wrong tube. Are there really two tubes?
I think there's only one tube, but.
Right. But you always say it goes down the wrong pipe or wrong tube.
Right.
I don't think there's multiple tubes. I think there's only one tube.
But that feeling of honestly, the panic I feel is not so much the idea that it's stuck for a second.
Right.
It's the idea of that vitamin residue having to taste it, which just tastes so bad.
Which is why I am a strict suppository guy.
What are we talking about?
Talk about.
Wait a minute. Can I get up here?
Oh, my God.
New York, London, Paris, Munich, music. Yes.
You know, last thought. Just the last thought about Cam Newton. And I want to bring it back into our own backyard.
Mm-hmm. I don't like my suppositories.
You using the whole fist, Doc?
Never mind. The moment's lost. I'll talk about it coming up next. Well, we've proven that we don't know math.
Maybe Ben can give me a breaking news.
And apparently we don't know human anatomy either.
Apparently there are two tubes, people.
Yeah.
The trachea and the esophagus.
Yeah.
Which just goes to show you how incredible the human body is. Like, they know which one goes down. Right? When you take a vitamin, vitamin's going to go down the, I'm assuming the vitamin goes down the esophagus.
Correct.
Down does the your... vitamin know which one to go down, or does your body tell the vitamin which one to go down?
I think the vitamin just knows.
You think the vitamin just knows?
I think that...
Where's that esophagus tube area?
Yeah.
Oh, here it is.
Oh, you sent me down the wrong one. Bad move. I'm going to release some of that vitamin dust.
Yeah.
Now you're going to pay.
Exactly. It's exact.
It's science.
There needs to be, like two signs, like on a highway, right? Like a road. There's the esophagus tube. It's got an arrow down the, and then it's got the trachea tube.
Right.
Did you know when you drive down the highway and those signs are orchestrated from left to right based on the exits? So if you get a sign that's left-handed, the exit's going to be on the left as opposed to the right. The exit's going to be on the right. So if you're going down a highway, you know, and it splits either to the left or right,
yeah.
The sign will be on the left or on the right to warn you that it's going to come up as a left-hand exit.
Yes. I had that moment happen to me, actually. Ended up on my way to Columbus instead of Cleveland. Thank God.
What's the difference?
Yeah, right. Do you know what Do you know what separates the trachea and the esophagus?
A henway.
You're not going to get me on that.
Yeah, the henway. It's a little thing called the henway.
It's that little thing in the back there.
Yeah.
The epiglottis.
The henway. Ben, he asked me how much a hen weighs.
What is a hen weigh?
What's a hen weigh? Ask me. Go ahead.
Go ahead. What's a hen weigh?
It's the hen weigh, Benny. That's what separates
yeah,
it.
Yeah, go ahead, Benny.
What's the hen weigh?
About 2 pounds.
All right.
Okay, sorry.
Let's get refocused here.
All right. Okay.
Cam Newton released.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm going to bring it suppository-like back into the backyard here. Okay?
Yeah.
You using the whole fist stock? Yeah.
The Broncos ruined Cam Newton in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
They wrecked him that day.
Mm-hmm.
He was never the same.
No, he was not.
He took such a physical and mental beating.
Mm-hmm.
He was never the same.
You knew it was over in the Super Bowl when he fumbled and then he just held the lantern there while everybody else scrambled to get on the ball.
Yeah.
You just shine a light on the situation. Here's a flashlight.
He was never the same.
No, he wasn't.
The Denver Broncos wrecked Cam Newton. He was the MVP. He was riding high. The Panthers, we were out there for the Super Bowl. We were laughing because we'd walk around Radio Row and we'd hear all these little snippets of conversation.
Yeah.
And it was this was not a Super Bowl. This was going to be a Panthers coronation.
Yeah.
And we're like, are we in like some alternative universe here? Have people seen this defense play?
Right.
I mean, we're just sitting there like with this, like we were the possessors of the world's greatest secret. Like, you guys don't know, do you?
It was incredible. And everybody was like, well, you're just, you know, you play for the Broncos. You're a fan. I was like, I picked them to lose against the Patriots, which they almost did. Tom Brady was so rattled, he missed that 2-point conversion to Gronkowski that was why he was uncovered. And he tried to force it into Edelman, if you remember, and it was an incomplete pass, and boom, the rest is history. You know, the Broncos win that game, whatever it was, 20-19 or 21-19, or I can't remember the exact score, 20-18 maybe, whatever it was. But the bottom line is, I was like, yeah, I thought New England could win that game, but I knew the Broncos were going to beat the brakes off of Carolina. I mean, I knew that they would crush that offense.
They wrecked him. The Denver Broncos that day, Von Miller specifically, but everybody on that defense. Von Miller, Jackson, I mean, everybody. They wrecked Cam Newton. He was never the same. He was like a shot fighter, right? You know,
right.
He just took, you know, it was like Rocky after he got beat up by Clubber Lang.
Yeah.
And you were wondering.
Sticks!
You were wondering if he was ever, because at that point he seemed broken.
Yeah. But he came back though. That's the difference.
He did come back.
I'm a fight. That's what I do, baby. I'm a fighter. Right?
Right.
I mean, that's exactly
what he said.
You know what else it's like? It's like that joke. I don't know the joke. I just know the punchline. You know that joke? You just, nobody knows the actual joke. It's just the punchline.
What is that?
Wrecked him. Damn near killed him. Right? I don't remember the joke. I just remember the punchline. So I'll throw the punchline out there every now and again. And people just look at me like, what is he talking about? I don't know what I'm talking about. That's the point, people. I just know the punchline.
Folks, Mark Schlereth just summed up there in about 10 seconds.
Hey, woman!
Two ways of looking at the Trinity Benson deal. I just want to bring this up real quick. So, in case you missed it, Trinity Benson, who was undrafted free agent by the Broncos a couple of years ago, spent a couple of years on the practice squad, had a really good preseason.
He did have a good preseason.
But the Broncos feeling maybe a logjam at wide receiver, able to trade him to Detroit for a fifth and seventh round pick this year. Broncos giving up a sixth round pick in 2023. Is this a deal that should be applauded? Hey, George Payton taking an organizational find, an organizational success story, and spinning it for a couple of draft picks, or should it be looked at, wait a minute, why isn't this guy on your football team then?
No,
if this guy is such an organizational success story and a find, why isn't he on your football team? Why are you trading him away for late round draft picks that are unlikely to even make your football team?
Well, I think it's a testament to doing your homework and again building your roster, changing the dynamic. You have Courtland Sutton, you have Jerry Jeudy, you have Tim Patrick, you have KJ Hamler, right? So all of a sudden, Deontay Spencer, you're not keeping a whole lot more from a receiver position. You'll have a couple guys that you re-sign on the practice squad. But let's face it, especially when you're talking about Deontay Spencer's going to be your return guy, right? Those other four are going to play. You're talking about a team that over the course of time has been horrendous at playing special teams. You're not keeping a fifth wide receiver. And oh, by the way, you're going back to a more traditional West Coast offense where you're going to keep three or four tight ends on your active roster. Well, one will be a fullback that also plays tight end in Beck. So you're keeping three tight ends plus your fullback who has the duality of playing both tight end and fullback. And so that's how you're going to build and construct your roster, because you need that valuable spot for a guy who can play special teams. And your receivers aren't running down, you know, aren't frightening anybody on.
Well, what if you're using Benson as your primary returner instead of Deontay Spencer?
Well, then you would have to let go of Deontay Spencer.
Okay.
And they're thinking that Deontay Spencer is a much better returner than Trinity Benson. So, I mean, I think that's what you're looking at ultimately, is Deontay Spencer is going to be that dude, right? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And then you've got to find depth in other places that can actually play special teams. That's why, you know, the Royce Freeman thing is interesting, right? He really showed out this year. He showed out. And if, depending on Boone's health, Mike, because Boone's a better special teams player and Boone played special teams in Minnesota, depending on where he is in his recovery, you know, could a guy like Royce Freeman be tradable? Because he played really well this preseason. I think he makes the team, but he has never been a special team standout. He's never been a guy that's done a lot of that for you. So, like, and we saw the weaknesses. And we saw Kendall Hinton not fill the punt that went end up going 60 whatever yards. You got to catch that. That's what your punt returner is. And I understand the guy rooted it, but that's something you got to do. You gave up some big returns. And you gave up a blocked punt. I mean, this has been a recurring theme for the Broncos and their lack of special team prowess.
Plus, I've seen a lot of receivers excel in training camp over the years for the Broncos that were training camp darlings that never really amounted to much.
Right.
And so if you could take a guy like Trinity Benson, who was, he was a nice story, but if he's not going to be your primary returner, and he he ranks behind all the receivers you have. If you could flip him to, and you know, the other reason why I think this is a good deal is that it's Detroit that made the deal. Because I don't know how many teams would give up a fifth and a seventh for a guy like Trinity Benson. But the fact that the Lions did tells me, you know what? You made yourself a pretty good deal. I like it.
I do too. I'll get a lot.
And it's an organizational success story. And give John Elway and his staff credit because they found Trinity Benson as an undrafted free agent.
Mm-hmm.
And then Peyton being able to
parlay it.
All right. Between all of your trachea, esophagus, and retaining water stories, even my nurse practitioner wife is laughing at you guys. Mac and Longmont.
Tell you what, you want an education, you come here for.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You want some schooling? Come on here. All right, we're done. We turn things over to Sandy and the Big O. Congratulations to Orlando Franklin.
Yeah, how about
If you haven't heard by now, he's taking a head coaching job. Oh. Jeez, that'd be a big story.
Yeah.
Hey, Kyle Shanahan, you're on notice.
That move.
You
quickly.
Are on notice. No, taking a coaching position job with the 49ers. Today's his last show. So we get ready for Orlando's swan song coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.